Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. We're glad to keep you company. Some of you crazy people, you work out at this hour, or you walk your dogs, or you get an early start on the commute, or maybe these are just your work hours. So we're glad to keep you company. In the last 24 hours, I've seen posts from people listening in Mexico, a listener in France, producer Pete. We've got people who listen across the pond. It's the only British accent. It's the only phrase I've got in any kind of a remotely accurate British accent. I wish. If I could have a superpower, it'd be that I could sleep on planes. That's one of my life's greatest failures, but I cannot sleep on planes. But in lieu of that, how about being able to speak in a British accent or Australian accent? That actually would make me really cool, I think. Maybe not. Maybe that would make me really cool. Regifting makes me really cool. And I might be in the minority, but I'm no longer alone on my island. Producer Pete is coming around. Our special guest, if you must know the truth, I brought Liam in just because I knew he would be on my side. Just kidding. That's not true. I didn't even know how he felt about it until we asked him last hour. Many of you are weighing in now on Facebook. We got a lot of you. I knew this question would get a flood of responses because it is a real thing. Do you, if it's a gift that you can't use or you won't use or maybe you don't like it or you won't eat it, do you just chuck it? Well, I don't see the point in that. It all goes into a landfill. I hate wasting things. I'm the person who, I just did this actually a few hours ago. When you get to the bottom of a container of shampoo or the bottom of a container of, in my case, some hairs, why I put cream, curly cream. If you get to the bottom of the container, you know there's still more in there. I take a pair of scissors. I cut it open. I scoop out the rest. I'm the person who does not throw anything out until I have used it all up. I don't, first of all, I work on a radio salary, so you got to be careful what you throw away. No wasting in our house. But if it's a gift that you're not going to use, like a box of chocolates, do you really walk over to the trash can and chuck it out? No, don't nod your head.
No, you turn that bottle upside down and you let the every little ounce of shampoo come out of that container.
Well, yes, but a lot of times you can't even so, it sticks to the sides, so you can't always get it. So I will cut it open and scoop out the rest, use my finger. It's the way that I am, I guess, just because we grew up without a lot of money and I work in radio, so we don't have a lot of money, especially in New York City area where money goes, I don't know, maybe an inch down the road. So I just don't believe in wasting things. It's not that I don't like your gift. I appreciate that you have given me a gift and I will always write a thank you note. I do handwritten thank you notes for every gift I get. Mark Singleton, our friend from Rudolph Foods, the pork rinds people, they sent us a nice Christmas gift, steaks and apple tarts, I think. And so we're going to share those with family members over the holidays and wrote them a nice handwritten note. So I am appreciative. I'm just saying, if you can't use it or you won't use it and you know it's just going to gather dust somewhere, why not give it a better home?
All right, so if I gave you...
All right, what are you going to give me?
I'm giving
you baked goods for Christmas.
I gave you a jar of mayo.
Why would you do that?
But like, it's a hypothetical question. If I gave you a jar of mayo for Thanksgiving,
why would anyone do that?
For Christmas.
Okay.
What would you do with it?
Well, you know I don't like mayo, so I kind of feel like there'd be a slap in the face. So you're saying...
Say I didn't know
that you... Maybe you gave me a box of candy canes.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Or a box of Thin Mints or a box of... Okay. Pepper and patties.
Right. Okay. So it depends on how much money you spent on it. If you spent $3 on it and I knew it wasn't a big deal, I would say to you, hey, Pete, I actually don't like mint. How about you give these to someone different? And we'll call, you know, I'm not going to eat these. I would let you know because you and I are friends and it's not like you broke the bank to buy me a box of candy canes.
But what if I gave you a $100 giant peppermint patty?
Do they make those?
They do make giant candies. I've seen them.
Okay. Well, again, because I respect you, I would just say to you, I don't like mint. Can you give this to someone else? Because I'm not going to eat it. Now, if it was someone I didn't know, so you and I are friends, so that's completely different. What if it's like an office party and someone gives you a gift or a friend that you're, I don't know, you encounter, maybe even a distant family member. That's probably a better example. A family member who doesn't know me well. So I'm going to my husband's Christmas. Well, it's my family now too. But my in-laws, we've got a big Christmas Eve celebration. Let's just say one of the family members, either one of my new brother-in-laws, one of the other extended family members gives me a gift that I will not use. I do not want to hurt their feelings. I love these people. They're my new family. They just don't know me well. So what is the problem? They're in Texas. They're not going to know. What is the problem if I say thank you? It's the thought that counts. I love you too. I appreciate your kindness. And then I find it a new home. It doesn't hurt their feelings.
You presented in a very strong argument. I will say that.
I'm winning Pete over.
It's something I wouldn't do, but maybe I would accept other people doing.
Okay. Here, let me ask you this. If you give someone a gift, and whether you know it or not, it's not something that they can use, would you be offended if they re-gift it?
Yes.
Oh, you would? Okay,
I would.
See, I would not. I would rather you give it to someone else than throw it away.
Now, I wouldn't be offended if they said, hey, this is not for me, I'm going to do this. If they did it behind my back, I'd be offended.
Okay. But you wouldn't actually know.
Well, I may know. Who knows? They could be gifted to a sixth cousin of mine in 6 degrees of separation. Comes back around to me.
Interesting. Well, it's funny that you say that. Not funny, haha.
Another trap question. I have a feeling
that's coming. No. This is actually a reaction that I've just gotten on Twix. And so I want to share this with you because this, I think, would be offensive. I gave a friend a vase. Vicky writes to us at Amy After Hours. I gave a friend a vase and they re-gifted it to me the next year. I was hurt. So we're laughing. And she said it's bad mojo. And I do agree with that. That's tough. You need to be careful that you do not re-gift where the person finds out. If you're going to re-gift and it's going to hurt their feelings, don't do that. But if someone gave me, or if I gave someone an ugly sweater, they didn't like it, or I gave them some baked goods that they didn't like, they weren't going to eat, I would rather they give it to someone else than chuck it. That's a waste of money. It's a waste of time and money.
I'll say this. That person that re-gifted the same gift,
Vicky,
back to the person.
Yes, that's awful.
That's awful. That's,
be careful where you re-gift.
Right.
Yes.
That's, come on.
You have to re-gift to someone who will never cross paths with the person
exactly.
that originally gave it to you.
Try a little bit. I mean, put it in, donate it. I mean, do something else with it. Don't give it right back to the person that gave it to you. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
They deserve to be caught.
That's thoughtless.
Right.
You need to know where the gift came from. But to be fair, now a year is not a whole lot of time. But to be fair, 5 years down the road, if you stick something in your closet, have you ever just forgotten where it came from?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's things right now. I will stare at it. I have no idea where this came from.
Do you want to know what I have in my attic? I have a bin with either Christmas gifts that I bought and never ended up giving out, or Christmas gifts that I cannot use. It's been a few years. They go in this bin. When I need a gift, not always for Christmas, but if I need a gift for someone's birthday, I'm going to a party, I need a nice, hey, thank you, I go into this bin and I will grab things out. But I will say, you have to be careful. Because if, like, for instance, if my mom gave it to me, I know I'm not going to use it. Now, my mom's a great gift giver. But yeah, you've got to be careful that you don't re-gift in the same family circles or friend circles where the gift came from. But I do, these are things that I want to give away. I know I'm not going to use them. So I wait for a little bit and then I find another home for them.
See, I have that issue with cards. Sometimes I buy cards in advance.
Yes.
And then I don't realize I forgot I bought the card. And then I look in the drawer maybe a few weeks after the occasion. Oh, I have this card here. So then I save it. And then I never use it. And 3 years later, I still have this card sitting in the drawer.
Oh, see, my issue is sometimes I buy cards and I'll accidentally send the same card to the same person 2 or 3 years in a row.
That happened
to
me.
You got to be careful. Well, that I think that's more understandable if you happen to buy a box or a batch of cards.
There was 2 years in a row where my mother, she gave me, I was in the band in high school. So she gave me, she'd give me a little Valentine's card, the mm-hmm. mom, and dad, hey, happy Valentine's Day. Here's 20 bucks or something. Right. The same card in two consecutive years had music notes on it. It was the same one. And I'm like, Mom, you gave this to me last year.
But it's more funny than it is.
Good story.
Right.
It's a good story.
It's humorous,
yes,
more than it is. I think that people are upset about it. Kevin actually thinks you should throw the gift away if you don't like it, rather than re-gift it. And I am not on board with that.
I would love to live I would love to live in that person's gold tower.
Right. In 2024, who has the kind of money to just be chucking stuff?
No.
If you can't return it, so you don't know where it came from, you don't have a receipt. I do think that's appropriate. If you give someone a gift and you're not sure it will fit, maybe like shoes or clothing, something along those lines, or maybe it's, I don't know, something for their home. We had 3 weddings to attend this year. Now, we ended up giving cash for those. But if you take a wedding gift and maybe it's something that they already have, absolutely include a gift receipt so that they can return it. I do think that's a kind way to go about it. But rather do that than throw it away. That's just rude.
No. Unless it's perishable. I mean, then you might have to throw it away. But
like your candy canes that you're going to give me? Like the giant peppermint patty that you're giving me?
A giant tub of mayo?
Why would anyone do that?
That's a great Secret Santa gift. That is a great
that
gift.
That would be a great either Yankee Swap or White Elephant, whichever people use.
Giant tub of something. And giant tub of mayo is one of them. That's what I would do. If I had a Yankee Swap, which I tried to do with my family, they didn't want to do it this year.
Oh, I love Yankee Swaps, but not with family.
But right.
Then you
right.
can only get crappy gifts.
But I would buy more than one gift, and I would throw it in the batch, wrap them all up, and it'd all be tubs of something.
Now, see, my favorite go-to when it comes to a Yankee Swap is either a package of underwear, just for fun. Like, why not? Buy a package of tidy whiteys and wrap them up. Or you go through your kitchen and you get a gift bag full of like stuff that you're not going to use, right? So I don't know, a little container of hot sauce that you're not going to use, or a jar of like grape jelly that you haven't opened yet.
Or a gift bag of gift bags. So I give them a gift bag and
never thought of
fill
that.
Them with gift bags. It's one of those gifts that go, when is it?
That's true. Although that's actually usable for people who give gifts.
Yes.
That might actually be usable. Where do you stand on re-gifting? That's the question. And you can all tell me that you would never do it, but I don't believe you, because 1 in 3 Americans admit, well, 1 in 5 admit they've re-gifted. 1 in 3 say they actually believe that re-gifting should be a viable option. There are 3 of us in here. I am all in on re-gifting because I do not waste things. Liam, our guest, says that I've convinced him that re-gifting is a better option. Pete gives gifts like mayonnaise, so of course we have to re-gift them at a Yankee Swap. 855-212-4227. Good to have you with us here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got our candidates for TD of the Week now. We've put them up in a poll also on our Facebook page or online at Amy After Hours. And then actually we still have our, it's kind of a moot point now. If you go and you check out the poll results, even with a half hour left.
Unless you have an army of people that want
right,
to vote.
After Hours Monday MVP, that one's coming to an end. How about a little more with Bill Belichick here? So speaking of MVPs, already North Carolina is getting its money's worth with Bill Belichick. He's answered the question as much as he's going to about returning to the NFL at some point. I am on board. I told you this last week. The more I hear Bill Belichick, the more I see his face, the more I listen to how excited he is about UNC. When was the last time you heard Belichick answer a question for 2 minutes? I listened to his conversation with Pat McAfee on Monday. He went on and on and on about the first week of this time on the job and what it's been like to dip his toe into the water. Actually, he's fallen into the college waters there at UNC.
I feel like it's a combination of the hours after the draft when you're trying to sign the players who weren't drafted and the 2 days before the start of free agency and the first day of free agency when free agency hasn't started, but it hasn't, transfer portal hasn't started, but it hasn't. Some guys are in it. They're going in it.
Listen,
they're
to
not
him.
Going in it. You
he's
know, it's
up.
A lot of dealing with the player, the agent, and maybe another person because not all players have agents. So it's been an interesting process, but it's very similar. Mike Lombardi and I were just talking about it. It's very similar to what we went through with the post draft process and right at the beginning of the free agent process, all combined into one with the transfer portal, and then you still have. A little bit of, you know, some leftover players from high school that are uncommitted or, you know, that are maybe weren't recruited, but for some reason now their name has surfaced and they're in it. So, you know, it's exciting to put together a team, you know, offensive line, quarterbacks. We've got a lot of guys think now we're really, you know, looking to add some skill players to the roster, whether that's, you know, tight ends, receivers, running backs, really want to add those into the, you know, into our roster and put the most competitive team we can out there as well. Of course, you know, I'll never pass up a good defensive player.
When was the last time you heard Bill Belichick tell you that much, share that much information, talk that long about what he's doing in his life? It's amazing the transformation of this guy who used to be so tight-lipped. And I know for media purposes, he's having to speak for a living. Welcome to the dark side. But now here he is going back on radio. I have wondered how long he'll continue to do that because at some point he's going to have to go back to tight-lipped head coach. But for now, he is, I mean, he's got diarrhea of the mouth. He's just on and on and on and on and on. It's like he's doing my job for me. I am amazed at how excited, full of anticipation. And I think he's answered the question of whether or not kids are going to be interested in communicating with him. And by kids, I mean college students. I shouldn't call them kids. But young men are going to be interested in playing for him. He says they've got recruits reaching out and recruits agents reaching out to ask them about coming to North Carolina. And that right now it is a flood of information. And so here he is, along with Michael Lombardi, who's a longtime NFL executive, worked with Bill Belichick in New England for a while. These two guys are not only going through transfer portal, they're also talking to high school players. They have the in because they know many of these agents, because they've certainly worked with agents and paying players and all that jazz for years and years. Honestly, I think that gives them a huge advantage. And the fact that they have a pre-existing relationship, so this is something they've done together in the past. And yeah, the number of times he says, I'm excited in this interview with Pat McAfee, it'd be like a fun drinking game.
I'm excited, you know, to be part of the process and, you know, to start on all the newness of it, the spring ball, the schedule, the recruiting, and just interaction with the other sports, you know, with the lacrosse team here, with the basketball team. Went over and watched the basketball team work out yesterday, and they've had a lot of great players, obviously a great tradition with Carolina basketball. So just being part of the whole, you know, just being part of the whole community process here in Chapel Hill has been, it's been amazing.
Exciting, amazing, can't just sinking his teeth into this community. I can't wait to see the results, but I tell you already, University of North Carolina is reaping the dividends. already, the way that he has been received on campus at basketball games. They announced they signed this top flight quarterback out of North Carolina. What I've heard is that for years and years, the recruiting in North Carolina has been relatively tepid. A lot of in-state players are heading out of state to play their games, maybe inside the ACC still, or locally, but they're going to South Carolina. They're going to Atlanta. They're going to Alabama. They're going to other schools in the South. They're not staying in-state to go to North Carolina or NC State. And now all of a sudden, this opens the door for them to be able to stay home and play locally. And there's such great buzz. Now, they're going to have to win, obviously, in order for them to sustain that. But I told you, just by stepping on campus, he already makes a difference. They've never had a coach like Bill Belichick. Well, in the conference, much less at North Carolina. I think it's amazing. Has he convinced you yet? It's real, Pete. That he actually does want to coach in college.
I never thought it would be, I never thought he was being, not being sincere. I thought that this was something, because he's a football lifer. He's a guy that, you know, if you look back at his history, he's football from basically when he was born to now. So this doesn't surprise me while I'm working with being able to develop something. All this stuff is just what I thought he would be saying. And I cannot see him at this point back in the NFL for at least a season. I don't think he's going to leave these kids.
No way.
Until at least one season. He's gonna get a season under his belt.
What about Bill Belichick tells you that he would give up on something like this before he's conquered it, so to speak?
Right. No,
I think he's there for the contract.
Very
at
determined.
Least the first 3 years, if not longer than that.
I also think I always thought that there was a little bit of in him to always take one step above Parcells, his mentor. And I always felt like he wanted to go, like his career would be, was focused on doing something that Bill Parcells didn't do, or reaching the level that Parcells didn't reach. I always felt that was there. I may be wrong, but I think this is one of those things that Bill couldn't do.
Do you believe the reports that he actually reached out to the Jets?
I do.
I don't think I believe them. I'm not sure. I don't know. He hates the Jets.
No, but he loves coaching. And he really wanted to get back in.
Could you imagine? Maybe that would be his way of sticking it to the Jets. The fact that he would be their best option.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, I myself would want it as a Jets fan. But I don't think it would have worked out.
Well, it's not so much the fans. It's the ownership that wasn't sure they'd ever give him a fair shake.
They could hire anybody they want. They could hire any person in the history of football to run the Jets. As long as Woody Johnson is still involved, it's not going to work. And it's proven that at least in the last decade. Since Rex was there.
I think Bill Belichick would work. I just don't think that they would hire him. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. But if it's true that he reached out to them and they weren't interested, I think that makes the organization look even worse.
It does. It does. They should have rolled out the red carpet and had a meeting.
Yeah,
at the very least,
yes. Have a meeting. Yes. All right. Coming up, before the hour is done, we'll talk about the Atlanta Falcons' plight and what's going on with them and whether or not they...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You need to make a quarterback change. I'm not on board with that. I don't think you have a better option. And right now they're 7-7, but certainly their offense needs something, anything. Also, the San Francisco 49ers do what we thought they would, which is cut Devondre Campbell. His locker is already empty. That's how quickly. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you on the way out. So we'll get to that too. A little bit of fallout with injuries from week 15 as we head into a week 16 that is all kinds of crazy. And a little more from Bill Belichick. The dude's excited. What? You missed it, Producer Pete. Well, we missed you on Sunday night into Monday, but we managed to drudge up the Todd Bowles. It's exciting. That's what I feel about Bill Belichick now. Todd Bowles, like you've never heard him before, preseason. He couldn't contain his excitement.
It's exciting.
See, when was the last time you ever heard Todd Bowles like that? Maybe the locker room after this past win this weekend because they scored 40 points. This is Bill Belichick. He's discovered his inner Todd Bowles.
It's exciting.
Right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As a team, that is one person who just decided not to play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision, and I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that, and I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again. I don't like distractions on the sideline. I think that's ignorant, and I think it's just dumb. It's just stupid, and it's very immature. And I just don't. I don't see how that's a. I just don't see how you can do something like that to a to your team. If you're on the roster, you're expect and you're suited up, you're expected to play. I think anyone in this building that got asked to go in, I would say 100% of everybody would die to get on that football field.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Strong words from George Kittle in the wake of last week's revelation that one of the defensive teammates on the San Francisco 49ers had refused to go into the game. This is a tough one. They were already thin on that side of the ball at one particular position, and Devondre Campbell did not want to go out there on the field. Don't really know why. Never got a whole lot of explanation, only that he refused to go in early in the second half. We heard that from Kyle Shanahan, and that he walked off the field in the fourth quarter and headed to the locker room all by his lonesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At the time, we'd heard from various players that it wouldn't be long before he was cut. It was essentially a foregone conclusion. When you've got that type of a reaction publicly, okay, so this was not kept in house. This was players who were talking about the linebacker publicly and saying that they did not, they couldn't believe it happened. They didn't want him to be part of the roster anymore. They were pretty sure he was going to get cut. Well, the Niners suspended him for the final three regular season games, but his locker's already empty. And this is essentially conduct detrimental to the team. And while he's still a member of the organization through the end of the season, his locker is already empty, meaning they don't plan to bring him back. His nameplate's been removed. How about that for the exclamation point, the final nail in your coffin, so to speak. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This happened, by the way, after Thursday night's game against the Rams, and it was a big shock. The Niners have had a tough season for many reasons, but the guys are still together. According to Nick Bosa, who was asked specifically whether or not there are locker room issues with the team.
This locker room's great. It's always been great. But sometimes when you bring somebody who's older in and from a different place, you don't know. I mean, he's a good dude. I mean, it's not like I didn't like him, but no, there's no issues in this locker room. Very rarely.
The Niners are still technically alive for the playoffs, so I guess if you're going by the suspension and it was three games, he could have been eligible for the playoffs. But the fact that they removed all traces of him from their locker room means that they do not want him back. And they actually had a short practice on Monday. Different players were available to speak. And once again, here's the part that blows me away. These guys are not closing ranks. They're not refusing to talk about it. No, this is not the A.J. Brown situation where once Brandon Graham had said his piece on his radio show, a bunch of different players shouted him down, and you almost broke the code there by speaking about a relationship between two players on your roster in your locker room. No, these are guys who are willing to come out and blast Devondre Campbell for the way that he left them high and dry. That includes fellow defender D'Amador Lenore.
I've never seen that. That's actually crazy. You know, to quit on your team while they're at battle, that just sucks. You know, I'd never be a part of something like that. I got too much love for the game, too much pride to even, you know, tell the coach that I'm not going in the game. For that to happen and him to do that, you know, I just lost all respect, you know, because I'm a person that's going 110% every play. So if I'm hurt, you know, and the guy behind me is not backing me up and can't come in or don't want to go in, so I just feel like that's either cancer to the team.
These are strong words, but it's true. These guys, they understand how hard it is to win. This time of the season, especially with so many injuries, it's a war of attrition. They're out there playing hurt, mentally exhausted in some cases, and especially when you're not playing for a postseason spot. And while they're alive, they need a lot of help. And yet they're out there putting mental, physical health on the line. In some cases, they might even tell you they're putting their lives on the line. And if the guy next to them or the guy in front or behind them is not doing the same, that not only poses a huge challenge and problem for a team in terms of it being together and all pulling in the same direction, but also there's a chance that somebody gets hurt if you're not playing at the highest level and out there locked into what you're supposed to be doing. Now, Campbell's not spoken publicly, not said why he refused to go in the game. But it was kind of interesting to hear what Nick Bosa had to say, that he heard some complaining. That was the quote, heard some complaining from Campbell before the game. And Bosa actually told reporters on Monday he thought about stepping in and saying something, but he didn't want to make it more of a big deal. He didn't want to create a distraction, so he chose to keep his mouth shut. He said that there's no way he expected something like this would come out of it, that Campbell would actually choose to walk off the field. And again, he's not talked about it publicly, But keeping in mind, Dre Greenlaw was back after blowing his Achilles in the Super Bowl, so he was going to lose snaps potentially to Dre Greenlaw. And then Dee Winters was another linebacker that was taking some of these snaps, maybe discontented or upset about playing time, maybe. But here's his opportunity to get back out there on the field and prove that you are not only viable but necessary for the Niners. And what do? You refuse to go back in the game, and then you turn around and walk off the field, making yourself the story. Yeah, the big line of demarcation for me is that these guys they're essentially cutting ties to him. They're not ripping him personally, but when it comes to this and this business decision, you chose to walk off the field. That means, of course, that you've quit on your teammates. It's not just about sucking at your job, having a bad day, not making a tackle. They can live with that. They can even live with holdouts when it comes to money, because they all recognize that your career is relatively short when you're a professional athlete. If you quit on them and you refuse to do the job that they're out there doing themselves, well, that's a completely different story. So the number of Niners who are willing to speak about this in the last week, that to me has been astounding and really tells the story of how upset they were by this decision. And now he's no longer a member of the Niners for all intents and purposes. At A-Law Radio, vote for your TD of the week. Also, we're asking you, after a study reveals that 1 in 3 Americans believe regifting is okay, how do you feel about it? Straight ahead, do the Falcons need to make a quarterback change? It's a question that's being thrown out there in light of the struggles of the offense the last few weeks, though they did win against a much worse Raiders team on Monday night. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, for simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to goodrx.com or download the free GoodRx app. Vikings crushed the Bears in Minnesota, 30-12 the final. The Vikings have now won 7 in a row. They join the Lions and the Eagles as the 3 teams in the NFC who are 12-2. Sam Darnold threw for 231 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Justin Jefferson had 7 catches for 73 yards and the first touchdown of the game, and then honored Randy Moss, who revealed his cancer diagnosis earlier in the weekend by yelling, "We love you, Randy. This is for you," into the camera. Here was Jefferson after the game on that moment.
I definitely wanted to, you know, give a tribute to him on one of my touchdowns. You know, it was just great to have it done in the first quarter and the first one. Definitely got to show that love to him. You know, grateful for what he has done for this game and what he has done for me as a kid, just watching him and being a fan of him. I always got to show love towards him.
Meanwhile, the Bears have now lost 8 in a row. They dropped to 4-10. In Vegas, the Falcons led 15-3 with 3 minutes to go, then found themselves defending a Hail Mary on the final play of the game, which they picked off in the end zone to hang on and beat the Raiders 15-9. Kirk Cousins, erratic again, threw for just 112 yards with a touchdown and another interception. After the game, head coach Raheem Morris was asked about potentially benching Cousins for 8th overall pick, rookie Michael Penix Jr. Safe to say he dodged that question.
You know, we got everybody in our roster for a reason, right? We got so much to get better at. Those things will always be discussed. That's just the nature of the beast in football. It's just so heavily talked about it at the quarterback position because there's only one guy out there. For us, man, our mentality is to find a way to win the next game. That's just the mentality that we're going to have.
Atlanta now 7-7, chasing Tampa in the NFC South. Raiders, meanwhile, dropped their 10th in a row. They're 2-12. Best parts of a Monday night in the NBA, DeMar DeRozan's buzzer beater comes up short. The Nuggets hold on to beat the Kings, 130-129. Jokic with a 20-point triple-double in the win. Cavs crush the Nets, 130-101. Cleveland now 23-4. Best record still in the NBA. And Cade Cunningham's 20-point triple-double, not as nice-looking as Jimmy Butler's 35-point triple-double with 19 rebounds. But the Pistons get the win. They beat the Heat in OT, 125-124. I'm Pat Boyle.
Cousins in the pistol again. Thought about it. Stop and go. Take the shot. Caught. London. Touchdown. Atlanta. I'm sitting up here with the man. Linebackers start making tackles. Play actions in the offing. Ritter on a straight drop now. Up in the pocket. Going to hang it for the end zone. And it is. intercepted by Atlanta to end the game. Holy smokes. Your heart's in your throat when Ritter throws it in the end zone. And Jesse Bates has come away with the interception to end the ball game.
An interception, that's the end of the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A Hail Mary, a little bit too close for comfort. Actually, the second attempt by Desmond Ridder and his new team, the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think I buy into this as a personal vendetta or a revenge tour. It didn't work either for Desmond Ridder, as he was a former Falcons quarterback. But I do think that when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons, the questions about their quarterback maybe take on a different meaning when you've got a former dude who is on the other team and you think, was the grass greener? Is the grass actually greener? Or maybe, just maybe, this wasn't the right move for us in signing Kirk Cousins. The calls for his job are getting louder and louder, the win notwithstanding. Wes Durham with the calls on the Falcons radio network. The Falcons should be better than this. That's the part that bothers me. They should actually be better than this. Even though they made a bunch of moves to shore up their defense, even though felt like they had made some specific moves to boost that pass rush, not making a whole lot of progress in those areas. And then the $180 million that they put toward their quarterback position by signing Kirk Cousins, he at least threw a touchdown pass in this one to Drake London, a pretty connection, and it was a great ball by the veteran QB. They got the win, so those are the most important things, not necessarily in that order. The win, the most important thing, because they were on a four-game losing skid. But they only asked Cousins to throw the ball 17 times. Now, this was probably a concerted effort to take advantage of a porous Raiders D-line and a porous Raiders defense that's terrible against the run. They had 168 yards rushing. Bijan Robinson, he gets over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. He had 112. Nope, that was Kirk Cousins. He had 125 yards. So they were going heavy run anyway, but Cousins hadn't thrown a touchdown pass in four games. This was the fifth one. He had 9 interceptions over these last 5 games. And so it's been a completely lopsided. The Falcons were 6-3 before they went on the skid. And of course, it does coincide with how bad the offense has been.
He's got to play better. And, you know, obviously, you got to go back. You got to be able to look at everything. But, you know, he wants to play better. He's got to play better. We got to find a way to get him to play better. And obviously, we'll get to work tomorrow. And that's a part of our process, right? You go, you look at the tape, you review with the people that needs to be reviewed with. We'll talk with everybody. And we got to play better at the quarterback position.
I think I do need to play better. I don't think that's a mystery. I think the last few weeks, I would say, you know, I need to play better. And so... You know, that's Raheem says it, but it's stating the obvious. And you know, every week you kind of go through your process, and you plan to go out there and play the very best you can. And so this week will be no different.
And you look at some of the games that he's had, the 4 interceptions against the Chargers. He also had 2 picks against his former team, the Vikings, last week, but was close to 350 yards through the air. But they didn't have those same kind of big plays, those big explosive plays downfield against the Raiders. And the Falcons, as I say, sometimes I feel like they're playing down to the level of competition. They should be a lot better than this, but they were really heavy on the run game. That's why they didn't ask him to do a whole lot. The Falcons frustrate me because their standard of excellence seems to change from week to week. And while I do believe that Cousins is still above average quarterback, there's something to be said about coming off the Achilles. I also think there's something to be said about him putting too much pressure on himself. We know in the past he's talked about the mental part of the game and how much that means. And even veteran quarterbacks can get lost in trying to prove something, especially after you sign a big deal like this. And whether or not you listen to what people around the team, not internal, but external, whether or not you listen to sports radio and you watch TV or you know what people are saying about you and that fans are upset with the fact that the team paid you all this money, whether or not you're listening to outside noise, I feel like most professional athletes, if they're going to be any good at their jobs, they have to be able to block that out. it's not all on him. Definitely not all on him. It's unfair to say that. And I do appreciate that Raheem Morris pointed that out, even as people are asking whether or not they're going to turn to the rookie Michael Penix.
We got everybody in our roster for a reason, right? We got so much to get better at. Those things will always be discussed. That's just the nature of the beast in football. It's just so heavily talked about it at the quarterback position because there's only one guy out there. For us, man, our mentality is to find a way to win the next game. That's just the mentality that we're going to have.
They have enough talent to be successful on the offensive side of the ball. And again, I don't think Kirk Cousins has forgotten how to throw the ball. I don't think Kirk has forgotten how to deliver on the money, to be accurate. We've seen the skill set that he has pre-injury, of course, with the Vikings. He had some really good years with Minnesota. He's got talented weapons around him, Bijan and Drake London and others. To me, this is maybe something to do with the fact that it's new, right? He's changing systems yet again. He's putting up a lot of yards, but not always making great decisions. The decision-making, that's something you wouldn't expect from a Kirk Cousins who's been in the business for this long and has pretty much seen it all. And yeah, just it doesn't fit at this point. We've seen the flashes where it's fluid and there's that great rhythm and timing. But more often than not, especially over this more recent span, it's not coming together. And it feels a lot more disjointed. And yes, he bears the responsibility because he is the leader of that offense. But it's not all on him. It really isn't. I mean, something to be said for constantly changing. And I talk about this to you sometimes. Constant change in sports equals constant losing. And the more that you change it, the more that you're likely to be messing with whatever foundation has already been established. And then losing piles up, right? And the expectations, they can get weighty. And guys will try to change things in one throw or in one particular moment, going for the big play, going for broke. And I wonder if a lot of this is mental because, again, Kirk Cousins didn't forget how to play quarterback. Maybe something to do with the injury. Maybe the fact that it's all different around him, new voices, new people that he's working with, and a lot of extra pressure on his shoulders because of this contract he signed and because of how desperately the Falcons wanted to make this a winning season for Raheem Morris. There's a lot there. Now, the good news is you're not the Las Vegas Raiders who've now dropped 10 games in a row.
Listen, man, we're not winning. I don't know what else to tell y'all. You know what I mean? We're not winning. Do I want to win? Hell yeah, I want to win. Don't want to keep sitting here looking at the same damn thing we're looking at every week and have the same discussion with y'all? No. We got guys that's battling, no matter. Next man up, right? You can poke armor and do all this stuff, but these guys are not budging. I'm not budging. We'll keep chopping wood, and at some point, the damn thing will break and go our way.
But maybe Antonio Pierce won't be around to see that happen. I don't know how he survives this. I know they played hard for him at the end of last season. And personnel decisions don't fall on him. They don't have a quarterback. And it's really difficult to win. We're talking about constant change. How many times have they changed their quarterback? They've used three different guys. But it seems like every few weeks they're changing QBs. And that goes even back to the end of last season. So it's not all on him. I still do think he's a leader of men, but maybe just not ready to be a head coach in the NFL in terms of just the expertise. But they are falling behind. And right now they're the team that's in line to choose number one in next spring's draft, which is where they might get a quarterback. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.